Coming up on The Green from Delaware Public Media, the race for state auditor has a fairly crowded Democratic primary. Three candidates are running to replace Republican Tom Wagner, who is retiring after 3 decades in that office. We'll hear from all three of those Democrats running, Kathleen Davies, Kathy McGinnis, and Dennis Williams, in our candidate conversations, produced as part of our Delaware Debates 2018 collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Those candidate conversations are next on The Green, where Delaware explores its common ground. But first, the latest news from NPR. Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. This week, we continue bringing you our candidate conversations, part of Delaware Public Media's 2018 election coverage, and Delaware Debates, which we're producing again this fall with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. We've reached out to all candidates who filed to run in the U.S. House and U.S. Senate races, as well as the races for State Attorney General, State Auditor, and State Treasurer, and invited them to sit down with us for an interview. Candidates in each race are being asked the same set of questions to allow you to get to know them and compare them. In addition to airing these interviews on The Green, the full interviews will be available at DelawarePublic.org and DelawareDebates.org right through Election Day in November. Last week, we heard from the Republican running for state auditor, James Spadola. This week, we hear from the three Democrats in the race, starting with Kathleen Davies. It's Davies' first run for office. She worked as chief administrative auditor in the state auditor's office for over 6 years before being dismissed last December, a dismissal that the Department of Labor ruled in June was done without sufficient cause. Another hearing on that matter before the Merit Employee Relations Board is scheduled for this month. Here is our candidate conversation with Kathleen Davies. So we start with the basic question. Why did you decide to run for state auditor?
Well, the decision is actually a progression of my lifelong career. I've spent over 25 years doing nothing but state government auditing and investigating. I served for 15 years as a senior staff member in various state audit shops or a director level, and I spent 6 years at Delaware State Audit Office as the chief second in command, and I felt this was a very good time. It's an opportunity. We're going to have a change in state auditor after almost 30 years, and so this was a perfect time, and it was a natural career progression for me as well.
So as you talk about your background, what do you feel about that background makes you better suited for this job than the other candidates running?
I think it's a combination of my education and my certifications, in addition to my extensive application of those credentials and the experience and having an understanding of state government auditing. And I can explain in more detail about that as we go through the interview. But in those 25 years, I've had the opportunity to visit quite a number of states as what they call a peer reviewer. So I have the compare and contrast as well throughout the nation. And I sat on a number of national committees that specifically deal with state government auditing and investigating.
Having said that, what are your priorities and vision for the Office of State Auditor?
I'm very excited about this. This is one of the reasons I was called to run as the number one person, because now it's time for I've done others. I've followed their leadership and made suggestions. But the thing that I'm most excited about is getting out from behind that desk and getting out with Delawareans. There are a lot of different needs in Delaware. There are a lot of different things that the state auditor can do that people are not aware of. There needs to be more visibility to the state auditor's office. I think this race is bringing some of that visibility, but it does need to continue. And what can we do? One of the reasons I was brought to Delaware to be the second in command was because of my background in performance auditing. And that has a very broad scope to it. Performance auditing is a very technical field set, and so there are things that we can do with respect to education, safety, Department of Corrections. There's a lot of opportunity there, and there's also a lot of need for those types of audits and investigations.
One of the issues that has come up in the state auditor's race is the staffing of the state auditor's office. Do you believe the current staffing of the auditor's office is adequate to do its job effectively?
So currently, the staffing is not to full complement. They have had some attrition in staffing up and down throughout all levels of the organization. More on the public side and at the top level, when I left the office, which was just over 2 years ago, they had four audit managers, two of which were CPAs, and the two CPAs have left. And so the numbers overall, they've lost about a third of their staff, and it's unfortunate because it does take a while to train people to do the work that's needed, particularly in such a small office. It's not as compartmentalized. You don't have large bureaus or departments that you send certain types of work to, so they need to be more of a generalist and understand all of the different types of engagements that we're working on in the technical standards. That is a key issue, is getting it up to full complement, and I do believe there's room for growing the office, which during my tenure and when I worked with the Joint Finance Committee and worked on the budgeting, we did get an increase in complement. We got cooperation with pay increases, and that will need to continue to keep current with the market in order to keep our staff as they come in, at least for a while longer, to get them in there and able to perform audits.
Because of the nature of the work of the auditor's office, should the office actively work to distance itself from politics and party ties? And if so, how?
Well, personally, I have always, as a professional coming out of college, and I've started this as an auditor one, and worked myself up through the career path in a very large audit shop to get myself to a senior level. And I was always unaffiliated. Even when I started this race, I was intending to run unaffiliated, realizing that that kept me out of a lot of opportunities to have forums, debates, and also coming to realize that it is there were individuals in the Democratic Party that were encouraging and said, we want you to come back and do what you were doing. Mm-hmm. And my number one allegiance is to the professional standards, to the profession, and to the public. I've always been a lifelong public servant. The reason I was unaffiliated was because, and this is true even now that I've affiliated, your objective is to give fair, fact-based assessments. And so we can't be pulled or tugged by party. And the proof in whether you're willing to do that is at what cost will you continue to do that? And there are oftentimes throughout my career where the other side has not liked where we were going or wanted us to stand down, not do audit work. And that happens from very early on in your career. And you have to have solid backbone and be able to move forward and do the right things. And I think the grounding in the standards and understanding where to get that support and advice nationally from the U.S. Government Accountability Office, the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, and other organizations is very important.
You mentioned earlier the visibility of the office. It sounds like you feel like there is a need for more visibility. How can you increase that visibility and make people more aware of the work the office does on a day-to-day basis?
Absolutely. There is a dire need for that. And I think a big part of the elected official's job is to get out there, by my way of leading, would be to get out and continue to meet with constituents, with Delawareans, with various groups, not to be with all like-minded individuals. To hear all sides of things. I always, as the second in command, had an open door policy, but not everybody thinks to reach out to you. Mm-hmm. So it needs outreach and a willingness to explain what government auditing is and what the opportunities are in a very simplistic way. There are a lot of different vehicles we can use professionally to accomplish objectives. And so in sitting in a room talking to somebody and knowing that they're desiring an audit and then trying to determine whether we can satisfy that desire and whether it's an appropriate use of resources, there's also a number of choices on how to do that, how to maneuver through the process and get the right type of work product for the circumstances. And so that's where that 20-some years of experience comes into play, where you get pretty adept at that. And some of the issues we hit I'll hit over and over again, I've seen them before, something similar to it. While the law may be different or the compliance issues may be different, there may be a repeat pattern. Where I really get excited is where there's something unique and different. Mm-hmm. That's where the real challenge is for me. And I am very passionate about the career field. Otherwise, I wouldn't have stayed in it for so long, even at times where it gets a little touchy and people just don't like what we're working on.
Does the state auditor have an appropriate role in influencing state policy in areas beyond accountability and state finances, or is it solely more or less a watchdog office?
Well, in the earlier days, I heard more about the watchdog. That seemed to be a nice catchphrase for people that were running for state auditor in the states where it's an elected position. Mm-hmm. Where it's an appointed position, you don't so much hear that phrase because that's more of an outreach to people. The thing that concerns me about watchdog, and it is true that we're going to protect the taxpayers' resources by when we get in there and we audit something, we're going to do our very best to make sure it's accurate, or that there's if we're in there to look at fraud, or if there's process changes that can be made. The concept of watchdog, I think we can go further now. There's a need for us to utilize our expertise and our backgrounds where we won't cross the standards. We're not going to make management decisions. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to sit down and talk about why aren't these findings getting corrected? Let's say we just spent $200,000 on coming up with 5 recommendations 3 years ago. They're good, viable recommendations, or tell us why they're not good, viable recommendations, and let's come out with an updated version of those findings and recommendations, and then let's figure out how to make this work beneficial to both sides. So there's conversations that need to continue as well with agencies, departments, with the governor's office, and try to develop some action or encourage action. But that being said, the only thing that the state auditor can do otherwise is we can conduct training. We can't tell them what to do, but we can conduct training on things like internal controls and accounting, so on and so forth. But it's up to management to decide what they put in place. That way we maintain our objectivity. When you get too close to something, or you're the one that put something in place, of course you're going to love it. And you're not going to see if there are problems. And that's inherent with everybody. We always see things through our rose-colored glasses when it's ours.
And finally, is there an issue or issues, area or areas you think need to be investigated or better scrutinized at this time in the state of Delaware?
I think there's a lot of important topics, some of which I did not realize how serious and how important it is. For example, the issue with drinking water. In the lower parts of particularly Sussex County, the pollutants that have been put into well water and some of the dire circumstances with the safety and well-being of our citizens. And that is something under performance auditing. People are surprised to hear that is something that can be done. It's on par with what the United States Government Accountability Office does. There, some people refer to them more as studies, but they can be done under the standards, so they're still considered audits. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very interested in that. There's also great outcry for work in Department of Corrections. I have Department of Corrections audit experience. And when people bring certain information to me, and if it's a viable tip, these are things that I can go through and follow up on with the staff and with training the staff and utilizing the staff and making sure that we get the right people. If we have two specialists on contract that can come in with expertise to assist with that, because we don't necessarily always have the expertise and the standards do permit for us to engage with people and contract people that have that background and expertise, and we can work with them to collect the evidence and the recommendations that we need to do reports. There are quite a number of areas. One on a fiscal level, one of the things I'd like to see is the state of Delaware spends a lot of money on their checkbook online. Mm-hmm. And a lot of reporters use that. A lot of individuals use that to do research. Well, that could use some auditing. And then that way, not intentionally, but that way if there were any misstatements or anything not quite right in there, or some recommendations to make it easier to use, I think that would be very important. So what we're doing here is not calling for someone to reinvent the wheel, but we're going to say, okay, let's come in and take a look at it and make sure it's accurate and give you audit results annually on those the data that you're publishing up that a lot of people are relying on.
Our thanks to Democratic candidate for state auditor Kathleen Davies for her time. Next on The Green, we'll hear from another Democrat in the state auditor's race, Kathy McGinnis. You're listening to Delaware Public Media. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. We continue our candidate conversations in the race for state auditor with the second of three Democrats running, Kathy McGinnis. McGinnis is a Rehoboth Beach commissioner who previously ran for lieutenant governor in 2016, finishing third in a six-way primary won by current lieutenant governor Bethany Hall Long. Here is our candidate conversation with Kathy McGinnis. So I want to start out with really kind of the most basic of questions, that is, why are you running for state auditor?
I believe that we can be more efficient and more effective and for greater use of our Delaware taxpayer dollars. The auditor's office is the one that's the watchdog. They're the independent watchdog that are there to make sure that your money's spent the way it's supposed to be spent.
In your background, what do you feel makes you better suited for this job than the other candidates running for this office?
I have real life experience and a very diverse background. For example, I've been elected 17 years in municipal government, working on multi-million dollar projects, overseeing real things that affect everyday people as far as their taxes, but also, you know, dealing with audits, dealing with budget and finance and profit and loss. Then I've also been a small business owner for 16 years. I've managed hundreds of people. So in the same kind of context, you're trying to look for waste and fraud in your own businesses to make them run more efficiently and more effectively. And I also have been serving on nonprofits for decades. Currently, I'm on the Camp Rehoboth Board in Rehoboth, Delaware State University Board of Trustee, and Meals on Wheels in the Lewis and Rehoboth area. So dealing with that, being, you know, former treasurers for nonprofits, you have your hands in it and it, the real day-to-day things. So I have a different but unique skill set that would be, I believe, ideal to manage that office.
So with that background, what are your priorities and vision for the Office of State Auditor?
I believe that office, which is kind of like the center of a wheel, and there's all these spokes, which are the different agencies and things that one is supposed to, check on, make the recommendations through the audits. Well, that office itself needs to kind of, it needs to be audited first. This office, if you are expecting to recommend and look into other agencies, you yourself must be accountable and transparent. And, you know, it does not have the full complement of employees. There's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of opportunities. Moving forward, my vision would be to get the office in order, get it to its full complement, and then use things and look at best practices. You know, talking to other auditors across the country and doing research, you know, there's a lot of things that we can be doing here. Little things that are maybe not too expensive or too much of a change for people, but can make that office make a real difference and a real impact and make it relevant to all Delawareans.
You brought up staffing. So one of the questions that we do want to ask is if you felt the current staffing of the office is adequate to do its work effectively. I sense your answer is no, but do you want to elaborate a little bit on what would be the adequate staffing for the auditor's office, or what you envision the staffing being?
Well, I would envision it to probably be more than what's there. It's my understanding folks have been leaving over the past few years and actually maybe in the past few months. So I know there's under 20 people there in an office which used to have almost 60. So if you look at that, yes. However, again, you got to get in there and take a temperature and evaluate what's there. Talk to the folks that are there and going, you know, what do you see or needs? I know through my municipal experience that sometimes you do need to outsource on certain projects. It makes sense. It makes fiscal sense. But there's also things that you can be doing in-house. Do we have that right complement? Well, probably not as of today. So yes, there does need to be some kind of complement there.
Okay. Because of the nature of the work of the auditor's office, should the office be actively working to distance itself from politics and party ties? And if so, how do you accomplish that?
Well, I would say yes and no. It's the kind of person that you're going to put in there to run the office. For example, I've been elected 17 years. I have loads of friends up and down the state, in and out of the legislature, in different mayors and municipalities. That doesn't mean when I'm going to make a vote or a decision that I am capable. I am capable of taking those emotions away, the personalities, and you go, what is best for this particular topic that we're looking at? So I do believe it's good also to have some of those relationships. For example, to get a full complement, one would need to have some plans in hand if they were going to start in January and go to JFC and be able to have that relationship and friendship where someone goes, you know, I know that person. They're a hard worker. They say what they mean. They're going to try hard. We are going to get behind them. We are going to believe in them and give them a little bit of resources, and then go back in a year maybe and check their metrics and see what they're doing with those resources. So you must actually have some kind of credibility with the legislators for them to actually believe in you, to give you the resources you need. And with the agencies, there's no reason that one person cannot go in there if it's the right person and be able to be independent. And my record's shown that. You know, I've had no problem voting by myself in the past if there's an issue, if I've done my due diligence, and I believe that's the right thing to do. So I don't see any change there.
Do you feel like the work of the auditor's office needs to be made more visible to the public? Do you feel the public really gets what the auditor's office does, and when there are audits, really understands what's going on?
No, I agree. It does need to be more visible. We need more outreach. We need quarterly, you know, maybe coffees or sessions up and down the state and in different counties. You know, I do that monthly with my constituents, and it's great because you learn from what the people notice or see or what they're feeling or what they want to bring forth, which is important to them. And, I mean, you can't be everywhere one person. So, absolutely, outreach is huge. You can also use that with technology, with apps, with making a very user-friendly website. We all know after three clicks, you go somewhere else. So there's a lot of things that can be incorporated to make this more viable. Quite honestly, most people do not know what that office is. And they do not know that the auditor is someone who's actually running the office. They think there's somebody sitting there crunching numbers. Well, they don't know. So I think half of this whole, campaigning thing where every week you're talking to different people up and down the state is explaining to them what this position actually entails.
And speaking of that, I mean, does the state auditor have an appropriate role in influencing state policy in areas beyond just accountability of state finances? Or is it solely just a watchdog office?
It's a watchdog office right now, but that doesn't mean in the future it can transform or evolve into something that has a little bit more strength where you can say, hey, you know what, these red flags keep coming across in separate agencies, and perhaps there needs to be policy or legislation where you can get someone to sponsor it. To me, it's not about the past. It's about what it can be. It's not looking through the rearview mirror. It's looking through the windshield and going, here's an opportunity for us to take this office, raise it up, make it more visible, make it more applicable to many people and the tax dollars. Again, this to me is very exciting. I think this is a real opportunity for Delawareans to have somebody who's willing to, like me, who has a tireless work ethic, go in there and see where we are and where we need to be with the help of the staff that's there right now.
And finally, is there an issue or issues area or areas you feel need to be investigated or better scrutinized by the auditor's office at this juncture?
You know, there's probably a lot of audits that have not happened. So you go back to the ones that have been put on the back burner. I know a lot of audits have not been finished or completed in the past, 8 years and been left hanging. So there's a lot of opportunity there to go back to the older ones and maybe some bigger ones. And there's also different types of audits. So the financial audits are one thing, but performance audits seem to be the trend with best practices across the nation because they're quicker, they're cheaper, and you get a result and actually make a little bit of a difference and an impact in a quicker manner.
Our thanks to Democratic candidate for State Auditor Kathy McGinnis for her time. A reminder, candidate conversations are part of Delaware Public Media's 2018 election coverage, and the Delaware debates we're producing again this fall with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. Conversations can be found online at DelawarePublic.org and DelawareDebates.org. Next up on The Green, we hear from another Democrat in the state auditor's race, Dennis Williams. This is Delaware Public Media. Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm Tom Byrne. We wrap up our candidate conversations in the race for state auditor with another Democrat running, Dennis Williams. Williams is a former state representative and twice ran and lost for Delaware's U.S. House seat in the late 1990s. Here is our candidate conversation with Dennis Williams. So we start with probably the most basic question for anyone running. Why are you running for state auditor?
I'm running because I see a need to have an experienced, qualified person in that role who is going to do what the job is supposed to do. That hasn't happened for the past 30 years. I'm an accountant. I'm an auditor. I'm a manager, a former state representative. And I've seen weaknesses in the office. As a state representative, I always thought that the auditor should be a resource. I work with auditors all the time. And they are a resource for me. And I didn't see that. We should be getting more value out of the office of auditor, and we're just not. I was frustrated last year when grant and aid was cut across the board. And I know we've had budget problems. There were budget problems when I was elected in 2008. But there are efficiencies out there. And the amount that was cut last year, I think we can see in savings if we really were doing this job the way it should be done. And I saw that need. And even though I left the House of Representatives 4 years ago, I've always been drawn to public service and doing what I think is best.
You talked a little bit about your background.
Yes.
What is in your background that you feel makes you better suited for this job than the other candidates in the race?
Okay. I do believe I'm the only candidate who has the necessary experience, qualifications, education, training, and understanding of the job to do that job. And as important, I'm the only one who's independent. Now, I'm a lifelong Democrat. I'm a lifelong Delawarean. Lived in Delaware my entire life. Been a registered Democrat for 40 years. And I've grown up here. I went to Concord High School, but I went to the University of Delaware. And I have a bachelor's degree in accounting and in financial management. I've worked in industry. Small industry. Actually, my first job after college was with the Department of the Navy, a civilian employee, and I was doing auditing. And I was part of that team that was finding millions of dollars in cost overruns, the expensive hammers and toilet seats. I was part of that team. So we were literally finding millions of dollars in taxpayer dollars that we were saving. And that was the start of my career. From there, I moved on to other local companies, working as a senior accountant and controller, and eventually a chief financial officer. I worked for Sikorsky Global Helicopters. Now, Sikorsky, which then was part of United Technologies, was a $6 billion company. It's a big company. Mm. The budget of the state of Delaware is $4.25 billion. So I was part of a gigantic organization. My job at Sikorsky was dealing with internal controls, two signatures on a check, who approves this, who approves that, a lot of things that just simply were not in place. So that was my job at Sikorsky. Among some other things, I did budgeting and forecasting, worked as the controller. But because that was such a big piece of being a controller, that was the job. And putting into place all of those processes and procedures and manuals and disseminating that information out to all the various departments and divisions of this gigantic organization. So that is really the key piece of what government auditing is, of what state auditing and the single audit, all that process is you are testing for internal controls. So that's what I did at Sikorsky, and I did a good job there because they sent me back to school. They paid for me to go to the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. And I got my master's degree from Wharton and the School of Engineering in technology management. Once I finished that degree, with all that spare time I had, I ran for office. I ran for state representative in 2008, and I was elected from the district at the very top of the state, from Claymont to the 202 area. Mm-hmm. So I served in the House for 6 years representing that area. I was on the Revenue and Finance Committee, the Labor Committee, but I was also on the Bond Bill Committee. And our job there was to look at and approve, modify the capital budget of the state for things like schools and roads and bridges and state buildings and the Port of Wilmington. And a lot of money flows through there. And my job as a committee member was questioning the elected officials, the agency heads, the department heads who would come before us, before this committee, with their budget requests. So I was in that process of questioning, and I was able to bring out a lot of information and find things that weren't really going well then. I was able in 1 year to help push through getting $10 million for two new cranes at the Port of Wilmington. Mm. Very critical to job growth and to job stability in that port. When the Port Corporation came back the next year, we asked them, what's the status of the crane? When is it coming in? Mm-hmm. They had not ordered it because they were hoping to lease the port out, sell it to somebody else, right. And then they were going to take that $10 million and use it on another project. Well, that's just wrong. And that is one of the things that the state auditor does. So it is this broad range of experience that I have that the other candidates in this race simply don't have.
So with that in mind,
yes.
You know, what are your priorities and visions for the state auditor's office? What do you see the office being in your mind?
Office should be doing two things, and it hasn't been doing the first one very well and hasn't been doing the second one at all. And that is doing what's legally required, which is an audit of every agency, branch, division, board, and commission of the state. All of the school districts every year. All the divisions, branches every other year for the most part, but every school district every year. And for years, that simply was not done. If we aren't really looking into the details, if we aren't really adequately doing these audits, we don't know where the money's going. So is it being wasted? Is it being taken? Is it serving the purpose that the public thinks it should be serving? So we really don't have the answers to all that questions because that job hasn't been done. The first thing I would be doing is looking at staffing, how we can improve that, how it can be more efficient, and increase that. 30 years ago, when the current auditor was appointed, there were 57 people in the office. Today, there are around 20. There may be less right now because a couple just left. In that time, the state budget has doubled over those 30 years. Now, yes, we've had some improvement in technology, but you can't double the budget to $4 billion, cut your staff by two-thirds, and think that some improvement in technology will get you there. That's why things aren't being done. The second part of the job that really isn't being done is performance auditing and helping find more efficiencies, seeing how you can do things better. A lot of what I did at Sikorsky, too, was training in continuous improvement, how to do things more efficiently. As a lifelong Democrat, I know that government has an important role to play in our lives. Government is not a business. It doesn't work as a profit-making entity. However, there are business techniques that we can use in doing the job better. And that's another part of my background that I can bring to this. Having worked in the private sector, not just in the public sector, you know, there are other candidates who have only done that. That doesn't give you the breadth of experience and the knowledge to know what are you looking for. And so increasing the staff is critical. We don't have enough people to carry out the constitutionally mandated responsibilities of the office. So we have to look and do that better.
That is my next question, is the staffing. You answer kind of the basic question. You don't think the staffing is adequate. Do you have a sense of what would be adequate staffing for the auditor's office?
I don't have an exact number to give you, but this is part of what I've done in my career too, is looking at budgets and looking and justifying what the staffing needs are. So I would look at who is there now, what the structure of the office is, and see what the best structure is to go forward. Clearly, we do need to increase the staffing because audits just aren't getting done. Now, we do have to outsource to larger accounting firms because of the timing of the audits, and some of it's just too big. But you need people to manage and supervise those audits who understand what's going on. How do we get those people? That's important, too. And I also want to make sure that we're diversifying the office because that hasn't been a focus either. We're right here at Delaware State University. We should be bringing in interns from DSU and from the University of Delaware to expose them to what's going on, to let them learn. And it's also a potential future workforce that you're bringing in. So we need to diversify. We need to expand the office. And the way to do that is, you may have heard this, others have said, well, you need this relationship with the General Assembly. That's not how you do it. You need to build a case. You know, working at Sikorsky, I had to do cost-benefit analysis, return on investment. You have to show, and I clearly can, that an increase in staff in the right areas will save you drastically more money than that cost is going to increase. So we need to show and make a case and go to the Joint Finance Committee. And I say that because having served on the Budget Committee, I know what I was looking for.
Right.
I want the numbers. And other committee members did as well. They want to say, justify this. And that is what I can do as well, that the others in this race simply don't even understand.
You talked about independence
in
this office. Because of the nature of the work of this office, should it be actively working to distance itself from politics and party ties? And if so, how do you do that?
Yes, it should. And that has been really the cornerstone of this campaign. I mean, I know as a longtime accountant that independence is critical. So I have made it very clear in this race that I will not seek and have not accepted any endorsements from any elected officials or department heads or agency heads. I'm not accepting any financial contributions or help or putting their name on a fundraiser. Just not doing it. Now, I don't know, 8 or 9 months ago, I talked to Governor Carney, and I just to tell him that I was running, not to ask for anything, just say, by the way, I'm running for state auditor. And his first comment was, well, I can't get involved in that race because I'm head of the executive branch, and the auditor audits the executive branch. And we also talked about his time as Secretary of Finance, where he worked a lot with the Office of the Auditor. So he clearly knows that you need to be independent, and he's made that very clear. I contacted and talked to professors at the University of Delaware and at the Wharton School and posed that question. And their first response was, well, yes, that's obvious. But I wanted to, you know, I wanted to make sure that as I bring this up as a topic, that it's not just me saying, you know, saying that for political reasons. This is what the governor said. This is what professors, world-renowned professors at the University of Delaware and at the Wharton School have said. You cannot, in fact, a couple of them have said, anyone, any candidate who has accepted the endorsements and the financial help of elected officials whose departments or agencies or branch of government that the Office of the Auditor is responsible, legally responsible, to audit, and that's all of them, is compromised and cannot do the job. I mean, there's a line in the sand. And there is one candidate who's building a campaign on endorsements. It's just wrong. And the other candidate has some endorsements as well. I mean, the question that I have gotten, and people have asked this, and people are clearly seeing it as well, you know, the auditor works for the people of the state. It's an independently elected position. The auditor does not work for a state representative or the Speaker of the House or the insurance commissioner. They're responsible for auditing the insurance commissioner and the legislature and pieces of legislation and the law. So it is a blatant, clear, absolute conflict of interest. And you must absolutely be independent. Someone asked me, well, once you get through the primary, are you going to have the governor, you know, hold a fundraiser for you? And I said, no, the position does not change. It must be independent. And I think that's really getting through to people. People really do understand we are in an era where there is too much collusion and corruption. And the principle in auditing, and you'll hear this, there's two pieces of independence: independence of fact and independence in appearance. And you have to meet both of those criteria. So just the optics, if you have someone who's supporting you, who you have to audit, you know, you can't say, I mean, they're not being honest. They're being disingenuous to say, well, they're going to help me get elected. They're going to help me raise me all this money. But once I'm in office, I'm going to be completely independent. It's you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. It does not happen. And that's what we, you know, face in this election. There's the qualifications, the experience to do the job, which I have. I mean, you have to have that.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, if you are not independent, if there's independence of appearance, if there's even the slightest appearance that you're going to be doing what someone in the legislature tells you to do or tells you not to do, to look the other way. And we've seen that in the past all too often. We have seen that. You're compromised. You should not be in that office.
So to piggyback on that, does the state auditor have an appropriate role in influencing state policy in areas beyond accountability of state finances, or should it solely be a watchdog office?
It should be a watchdog office. But I think the difference between the parties, too, is I think – I'm very much in favor and think it's an important piece of philosophy. We need to be transparent. We need to have accountability. So we need to take extra steps to make sure that transparency is there, that we have open government, that people know what's going on, that there are no backroom deals. And so that is a principle that the office should hold. We need to have the independence to lend credibility to what the government is doing. Because if you don't believe the money's going to the right place, if you see things happening that you don't think should be happening, if you have any doubt that the auditor is going to find that or if they're covering it up for somebody who supported them, then you have no confidence. So you really have to be first and foremost doing what the legal job requires without outside influence.
Does the work of the auditor's office need to be...
Can I mention one more
absolutely.
Point? I did mention, too, my background is... I come from a union family. My mm-hmm. father was in the building trades, operating engineer. I was in the laborers union. That's how I helped pay for college. So I've always been a strong advocate and supporter of organized labor. On the labor committee, I supported an increase in the minimum wage. I was opposed to right-to-work legislation. I supported prevailing wage. And so, yes, while it's a watchdog, there are certain things that, in a broader sense, that I want to make sure that everything is happening as well. We're auditing the financial statements. But if a contract requires prevailing wage mm-hmm. be paid on a construction project, then I'm going to make sure that I'm looking for that too. You know, we are looking to see whether the dollar is going to the right
sure.
place. But there's a little bit more, and that's the step beyond that I would take. You know, are those prevailing wages being paid? Are the taxes being paid? We had a legislation for workplace fraud, so there are other factors other than simply the internal controls. But is everything being followed according to the intent? And that covers paying the unemployment taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And paying prevailing wage and things like that. So that is where, there's a little bit of policy involved, but making sure that what has passed, in addition to just the dollars and cents, occurs.
Does the work of the auditor's office need to be made more visible to the public? Does the public really understand what the auditor's office does?
They do not. And that's the first question I usually have to talk about is what does the auditor do? And that's really because over the past 30 years, they've done less and less and less. They're not, I mean, not even doing the required job, such as auditing every school district every year and posting those or making them available. So I would not only revamp the website to make it user-friendly and make sure every audit, every completed final audit is posted, I would hold quarterly meetings with the public up and down the state to talk about the findings of some of these audits so that people understand what's going on. What I've been trying to explain is that the auditor works for the people, not for other elected officials, work for the people. And it's the auditor's job to make sure that the budget that's passed by the House and Senate, signed by the governor, that those dollars go to where they're supposed to. And a lot of people are saying that that does not happen. I think as people understand that, they're starting to realize the importance of the position because it just hasn't been done well for many, many years. So,
and finally, is there an issue or issues or area or areas you feel need to be investigated or better scrutinized at this juncture?
I think if we adequately staff the office and follow the law, that will enable me as the auditor to do what needs to be done. Now, that has not been happening. And I'll give you one hopefully quick example. There was a report released in June of 2017 on the Sussex Votek School District. Now, on July 1st of 2014, 3 years earlier, an anonymous tip went to the auditor's office saying, there's a land deal that looks a little funny. What had happened was the school district, the school needed to expand. They needed some property. Someone found out about it. They went and bought a piece of land for $110,000. 2 weeks later, they sold it to the school district for $200,000. That same company got a contract to build, I think it was a bus overhang for, you know, dropping kids off and all, $200,000 contract. There were change orders added to that for really unrelated HVAC work to the tune of $4 million. This was a total $17 million project. Now, invoices were approved, but they were split because part of internal controls is over a certain amount, you set up rules, two signatures or certain approval, you go up to the superintendent, things like that. They were getting around that by splitting the invoices into dollar amounts less than the approval amount. That's not good either. The facilities manager left the job, retired, I guess, and then went to work as the liaison for the contractor. All of those are red flags. Now, as I said, July 1st, 2014, the report comes out 3 years later. All of these things, many of these things in pieces, should have been caught in the fiscal year 14 audit, and if not then, the 15 or the 16. You know, we're talking years where who knows what happened to some of that money. It was wasted or taken. Those are the type of we're talking millions of dollars. And that's one school district project. What else is going on? So it's the understanding and it's really it's knowing where to look. So that and I'm not suggesting any wrongdoing on the part of that person who retired and went to another job. But our auditors where I'm working now are scheduled to come in August. That's the kind of question you ask. You say, you know, I need to talk to this person. Oh, they're not here anymore. Where did they go? And then you see their name on there. It's gonna raise a red flag. You have to look into that. Those are the type of things that just haven't been done. And that's what I'd like to see done. So if you do everything according to the law, if you have the staff to do it, then a lot of these problems will work themselves out. That has not been done. As I said, 30 years. The last eight or so, I will say there's another candidate in this race who worked in that office. And I mentioned earlier transparency. complete reports. When the report is done, finalized, signed off, then it goes out there for the public to see. But when it is still in process, when it's incomplete, and when looking at it could be misleading because you don't have all the information, that report should not be leaked, as has happened. So that's a problem in the auditor's office, too. There was a confidential work papers that were leaked to state representatives who were working on legislation dealing with the topic of that audit. That was actually done by a candidate in this race. So we need ethical standards. We need, and I would lead by example to make sure to emphasize and highlight the independence and the ethical responsibilities of this job. And that's that, I think, when you do that, you get things done.
Our thanks to Democratic candidate for state auditor Dennis Williams for his time. You can find all of our state auditor candidate conversations online at DelawarePublic.org and DelawareDebates.org. And that's all for this week's edition of The Green. The interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. And remember, you can also check out The Green via podcast at our website, on iTunes, and on the NPR One app. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page, on Twitter at TheGreenDE, or by emailing us at TheGreen@DelawarePublic.org. For the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Burns saying thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delaware explores its common ground.